This morning we want to ask ourselves a few questions. Often we ask God, what do you want for me in my life? What is your purpose for me? What is your will for me? And by the way, I just want to welcome in our midst this morning my uncle and auntie who's visiting us from Mauritius. You know, sometimes we ask ourselves. I mean, I'm sure we've all had a point in our lives when we ask God, "What is it that you want for me? What is your will for me? What is your purpose for me?" And all of that kind of stuff. And our hearts are crying, Lord, if you're sitting here today, the chances are you want to serve God, you love God, and we have a heart for God. How many know that along the way, when we go through life, there are many things that happens in our life? And as a result, a lot of things are being laid on our lives, and things start to get a little bit heavier, busier, and slowly the toll begins to, it begins to take a toll on us, and you start to feel it. There's a few questions this morning that I want to, I believe God's been dealing very much in hearts, especially in my heart, and I believe that in all of our hearts it will be relevant as we hear this, but I want to talk about we have come to meet the Lord. We have come to meet the Lord. And what do I mean by that? We're all looking for something in life. We're all looking for answers. We're all looking for a breakthrough. We're all praying that something will happen in our lives. But nothing will happen unless we meet up with the Lord. Nothing will happen unless we have had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ who changes us from the inside out. You can call this encounter, you can call this whatever it is. But at some point or another, you've most likely experienced the power of the living God that touched our hearts and convinced us and converted us and converted our hearts to turn back to the living God because He's the giver of life. And we recognize that without God, we are absolutely nothing. And so we may ask ourselves then, what is the purpose of coming here this morning? What is the purpose of our prayer meetings on Saturday? What is the purpose of our cell group, our life group, or our Bible studies on Wednesdays? Or what is the purpose of life altogether? What have we come to do? Unless the Lord is in it, we miss something here. Unless the presence of God is with us, what we're doing, I may say, be in vain. And we lose the purpose. We lose the sense of it. So I have three questions that I want to ask this morning. And I want to start off by reading Luke chapter 7, verse 24 to 27. Luke chapter 7. These are some serious questions I've had to ask myself. In Luke chapter 7, verse 24 to 27, and this is Jesus speaking of John the Baptist to the multitudes. And this is what it says. When the messengers of John had departed, he began to speak to the multitudes concerning John. What did you go out to see? Into the wilderness. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind. What did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft garments. Indeed, those who are gorgeously apparelled and live in luxury are in king's courts. But what did you go out to see? A prophet. Yes, I say to you, more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, "Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. There are three questions put there. And the questions are, who did you go out to see? We all know that John the Baptist was a messenger. He was to prepare the way for Jesus. He was the forerunner of what Jesus would come to do. He would prepare the way for the Messiah. He was the voice crying in the wilderness, "Make way, for this is the Lamb who takes away the sins of the world." Is that right? So this is John the Baptist speaking, but he's telling to the people, "What have you gone out to see?" Now I want to ask this question to each one of us, and that is also being asked to me right now. What have I gone out to see? When I do things in my life, even when if I'm serving in church or even if I'm doing whatever I am, what have I gone out to see? What was the thing? What was the intent of my heart? What was I there for? And you see, I think with time and with many things that happen in our life, whether good or whether bad or whether it's not much, but along the way, we can lose a sense of the seriousness or the reality of what we're doing. There are, you know, many things we do even in a church setting, but isn't it very easy? And I've had to ask myself these questions. You know, when we take, for example, Holy Communion, or when we sing songs to the Lord and worship the Lord, or even if I'm ever down there and leading songs, you know, in the congregation, you know, what have I gone out to see? What have I gone out there to do? Sing a few songs, lead a few songs, or take the bread and the cup, which we do on a weekly basis, and it's lost its real meaning, and it has become a form of ritualism, a ritual rather than a reality that we in which we can touch God and be transformed and be changed in His presence. We can go to church as a form of formality. And sometimes I also look back and I say, you know, we can say things out of, you know, we can swell up great words, but what did we go out to do? What did we go out to see? Why are we here this morning? It's a very important question. And I'm sure, and I'm quite sure, if I was to ask anybody here, everybody will give us the right answer, which is, we've come to worship God, we've come to meet Him. And you know what? It is the right answer. We have come to do that. But sometimes, really in the heart, it's a real hard question here. And I want to ask it again, what have you come out to see? There are three things here that Jesus began to say. What have you gone out to see? Number one, two, and three, it's just there. Number one, have you gone out to see a reed shaken by the wind? Have you gone out to see a man clothed in soft garments? Have you gone out to see a prophet? And Jesus began to say, you've seen more than just a prophet. And goes on to say that he was the greatest of the prophets. So I want you to turn to one another and say, who have you gone out to see? Who have you gone out to see? Jesus was challenging them. He was challenging the multitudes. What you actually gone out there to do? You see, the crowds, I mean, okay, look at our lives on a real, like, everyday-to-day life. We like to go with the flow. Isn't it easier to go with the flow? What everyone else is doing, just go with the flow. So everyone is crowding around John the Baptist. Let's check it out. Let's just go and see. But what was the reason to go and see? Some people were looking for Jesus because he could make signs and miracles. How many were willing to follow him closely was different. So you had the multitudes of people following Jesus, but they weren't with him in every situation. They were there looking for something. They were looking. They were hungry for something. But what were they hungry for? Maybe signs and miracle wonders. They saw the bread multiply and they wanted more of that. That is cool. I want to hang out with cool people. All right? Isn't it easy to just go with where the wind goes? If that's popular, then we go with it. If the trend changes, then we change along with it. And then this and that comes out and we go into that. But let me talk about the first one really quickly here. And it's a very simple message this morning. The first one is a reed shaken by the wind. You know, it's talking about the wind just shaking the reed. The wind just tossing it to and fro. Have you gone out to see that kind of person? Is John the Baptist in that kind of, is he that kind of person who's wavering by the winds, compromising, tossing to and fro with all kinds of teachings? What have we gone out to see? Number one. Now, we can all agree that John the Baptist was not that kind of person. But the reed shaken by the wind is a symbol of what we read in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. He says, that you might not be tossed to and fro like children by every trickery of men, by all kinds of doctrine. Shall we turn there? Ephesians chapter 4, it's on the screen, verse 4, verse 14. It says, in verse 14, it says, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. What have we gone out to do? We know and we can all agree that John the Baptist was not that kind of a person. He's not. He wasn't a false teacher. He wasn't a bad teacher. He was speaking truth. He rebuked the Pharisees. He told them off and he spoke against Herod Antipas. He spoke when he needed to and he did not compromise and he spoke right at their face. But Jesus was asking a very interesting question. What have you gone out to see? Are you looking for what you want? Have you gone out for the right reason? What is the reason that motivates you to go out? And I want to speak about something here in this subject. Is when we go out, have we gone out to hear what we want to hear? Do we like to accumulate sets of teachings? Or do we like to tingle our ears? I want to read 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. It says this here, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. What I want to deal with is not so much about the teacher here, but I want to talk about the attitude of the people who are going out. With what kind of an attitude do we go to church? Do we go out to hear what we want to hear? Itching ears to heap up ourselves teachers so that we can hear what we want to hear rather than hear the truth that will confront us and change us and challenge us to change, challenge us to do something about our lives when we know it's a mess. Sometimes we know our lives are not in order, but we'd rather to hear what we want to hear to justify the wrong things that we do and hear it from a teacher and hear a little bit here and there and not listening in full context and take that and say, well, didn't the preacher say that? And feel good about ourselves and we feel all right and feel comfortable enough not to have our lives change and we're happy to just go with the flow. What it means is that we can go in from meetings to meetings. We can go from prayer meetings to prayer meetings and have not changed. We can have heard great teachings, But our hearts were not really moved. And oftentimes, you know, we pray and we hear a lot of people say, Lord, I want this. I want to serve you. I want to follow you. I want to worship you more. I want to give you more of my time. I want to surrender my life to you. I want to go after you. I want to serve you. And I want to. And this is all we say. I want to do this. And I want to do that. And I want to do this. But you see, when God begins to work in our hearts, it's beyond what I'd like to do. Because if I like to do something, I may not do anything about it. Does it make sense? Like if you feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit, what you always say is, God, I'd like to do that. I'm not really in the mood. I don't feel like I have the power. I'd like to. This is my prayer. I'd love to. I'd like to. I'd like to. I'd like to. I'd like to. I want to. But what is that? Where is that I want to leading us? Is it leading us to the point of action, or are they just wishful thinking? And Proverbs talks about the fool that wishes and wishes and wishes and never gets what he wishes. Let me ask a question here. Is we not getting, you know, and sometimes you might say, well, I'm sincere, I actually do want, and I don't say that I don't believe you. You know, we want to, but that's it. But if it remains I want, it may never become concrete and change to a real change of life. Rather, we can say, Lord, today I commit myself. I give you, I commit myself to you. I make a decision to do something about what needs to happen here. Because I believe that right now you have given me your word, and your word gives me that grace to operate on what you have spoken to my heart. Can I get an amen? But if we go out to hear what we want to hear, just the part that we like to hear. I like the jokes. Usually like the introduction. Then the middle part gets a little bit, you know, a bit dry here. And then, at the end, you know, it's a little bit more hallelujahs at the end. And so, you know, this preacher preaches a little bit more like this. And that one says a little bit more like that. Question is, what have we gone out to see? As long as we have gone to only hear what we believe is good, or what we think, not just believe, but what we think is good, and we just go for that and just that, it will never really truly change us. If we want to, we can always make something sound reasonable for our situation. No matter how wrong we are, we can turn it in such a way to make it justifiable. You know what? I know I did the wrong thing, but you know, I still was right because of this and this and this. Today with YouTube, it is very easy to hop online and listen to any preacher that you probably like to. And it's very easy. I mean, you look at this. He says, in the last days, in these days, there will come a time, they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap at themselves for teachers. And I'm not saying that we should not listen, go on YouTube and listen to other ministers. I am not saying that. But how many know, so many times, you find something and it looks really good, and then halfway through, you're like, what was that all about? And you find that it probably came from a cult, teaching about all kinds of things. Have you ever come across this? And I'm sure you must have watched some YouTube video and you thought, oh, that was a good one. That's a good one. And then halfway through, you're like, hang on a minute. It's totally off. Anyone? People look as if you've never used YouTube, which is not true. I know. It's YouTube, WhatsApp, some of you Facebook, and then what? Now Instagram and all these kind of other stuff. And for that reason, I would encourage all of us here today, when we go out to see, what have we gone out to see? I'm going to, you know, challenge all of us this morning to really seek to know God and really know His Word. Can I get an amen? Really know His word, not just in so much in as far as knowledge, but you know, truth will always confront us. The word of God will always, when we face the word of God, if it's not confronting us to change or compelling us, then we really got to ask ourselves some serious questions. The Bible says the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. What's the attitude of our hearts? What have we gone out to see? What have we gone out to see? The Bible says in the last days, knowledge will increase and people will go to and fro across the earth. We don't have to go very far for that to happen. You can just go from YouTube channel to another YouTube channel. You're going to and fro, to and fro. Am I being pushed around by the philosophies of the world? Am I being pushed around by the ideologies that are being pushed? Also, maybe the church should be a little bit more like this now because of what's happening out there. We just could accommodate for everybody. Or has the word of God will always remain the standard? And this is what John the Baptist demonstrates. It's like he spoke to Herod as he should have spoken, and he said it. He spoke to a brood of vipers. Now, one sad thing, let me just say one more thing here before we move on and finish this off, is you see the Pharisees, they were the teachers of the word, the lawyers, they were the scribes, they were the interpreters and all that kind of stuff. But the Pharisees, their strong points that they believed that they had the word of God and they memorized it and they could teach it really well. And Jesus said something to them. He says, you know, they teach but they don't do it. Unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the Pharisees, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Which is saying, if you just follow them in what they're doing, they can teach but don't practice it. You know, it's different, all right. And so the Pharisees, they were really good. They knew the word of God, and as a result, they were the teachers. They would teach. But let me say something here. If we went back a little bit to the roots, maybe, of the Pharisees and see where it ended up, we would be quite surprised. Now, I'm not sure if you're following with me today, but I'm asking the question, what have we gone out to see? Who have we gone out to see? Who are we meeting up with? And so I want to share this really quickly here. The Pharisees, if you look back a little bit, it is said in history that they probably came out from a great, great revival. And the revival that I'm talking about here is the one that happened in the book of Ezra. Now remember, when Daniel was in captivity and then, you know, Cyrus gave the command for them to go back and rebuild the temple. And so they went back, the people went back. So you have Zerubbabel, Ezra, Nehemiah, and you have all these books that we read in the Bible. Yeah? They went back, and one of the things that they did was that they would go in at the water gate, they would set up a platform, and Ezra would begin to read the word of God until noon. And he would read all day, and he would teach and explain, and all the people would say amen. And there was a great revival of the word of God. You understand? And that was on the Feast of Tabernacles when they did that, on the seventh month of the year. And from then on, there was a restoration of the law of God and the word of God. But to cut a long story short, as time went by, they wanted to hold on to that word so much. And obviously, there were all kinds of things happening all about them. There were pressure, and there were, you know, the Greeks were coming along and really trying to convert them. And so they say, we're gonna hold on to that word. We're gonna hold on to the law. We're gonna hold on to the law. And with time, you know, because of some chose to compromise and some say, no, we're going to stand. And so, to cut a long story short, it became, they wanted to maintain that word or to keep that law so much until it became they became so rigid and really restricted themselves. And with time, with other things that are happening, they became as a sect called the Pharisees. All right? So this is really a shortcut version of this, of what I'm saying with you right now. But what is very sad about this, is that what started really good ended up really bad. And I want you to look up with one verse with me here. In verse 30, chapter 7, Luke chapter 7, verse 30. Look at that verse. But the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the will of God for themselves, not having been baptized by him. Now listen to this. Look what they did. The Pharisees and the lawyers, they're the ones who've got the word of God and who teaches. They're the teachers of the law. They're the interpreters of the law. They rejected the will of God for themselves. So what have you gone out to see? The Pharisees, what have they gone out to see? Number two, a man clothed in soft garments. We've gone out to see if it's a great church building, great lights, great entertainment, very charismatic speaker, knows how to move the crowd. Have we gone out to see how good is the food after church? Have we gone out to see people, meet up with people with whom we have high regards? Is that the purpose? What have we gone out to see? We've gone out to see because there's a man of God there. Whether it's a church meeting, whether it's a conference, wherever we all go, doesn't really matter. What have we gone out to see? Have we gone out to see, number three, a prophet? Now, let me conclude with this. If we have gone out to see, who have we gone out to see? What kind of crowd are we? I want to read Matthew chapter 13, verse 36. Matthew chapter 13, verse 36, it says this. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came to him saying, explain to us the parable of the tares of the field. Now let me say this. There were multitudes that went to John the Baptist. All right? But here there were multitudes that went to see Jesus. But when the multitudes were sent away, he took his disciples into a home, into a house, and begin to explain to them. I want to ask, what kind of a crowd are we? Are we part of the multitude, or are we part of those who are really seeking after Jesus? As long as I'm just someone who's just part of the multitude, I take no responsibility. I don't own anything. I just come, sit, heard the message, and I just go off, and that's all. I don't feel like there's no responsibility because I'm just coming in and coming out. So what kind of group of people are we? And this is the challenge that I want to say, and the reason for sharing about the Pharisees is that what started really good. Now, wouldn't you say that what Ezra did and all those times and the restoration of the law and all these things, isn't that a good thing? Absolutely. 100% a good thing. But with time, It is very sad to see how, you know, things have gone into a ritual. Things have just become a bunch of laws that they had to, and in fact, they added oral traditions and laws to the list. You have to wash your hands in a certain way before you eat. You had to wash your cups, and you have to do all kinds of traditions of man that were not from God. I begin to look at my own life. And I begin to question myself and begin to say, well, look at it. You know, everything that we do in life. You know what you do. You know you're part of church. You know what you do. It's like, in the midst of that, yes, I have a heart for God. I have a God heart for Jesus. I want to serve him. I want to do, give him my best. But in the midst of that, what have I gone out to see? Did I miss something in the meeting? Did I miss him in the midst of singing songs? Was I too busy leading songs rather than actually worshiping the God, the Creator God? Hello? Does that make sense? Was I too busy, you know, doing so much work and being nice to people or doing all these kind of things and miss the whole thing about the presence of God? I want to ask the question again, who have we gone out to see? As a very challenging question to myself. And I believe that it's challenging each one of us here this morning. Have we missed it? So much so until the meeting has become so casual sometimes. Or we take things lightly. It took a revelation for Jacob to realize that this place is none other than the house of God, the gateway to heaven. This is an awesome place. It's not just a place to sleep and a place to rest where I'm running away and all kinds of things, but this is none other than the house of God, the gateway to heaven and from heaven. Let me ask it again and again and again. What have we gone out to see? Which category do we fall in with? What's the intention of our hearts? Going to church, going to all kinds of meeting. What is our intention in prayer? What are we praying for? And most of the times, let's be honest, we always pray because we pray that we have needs and we pray that our needs will be met. And probably that's maybe the intention of why we pray. But how many of us really pray and say, Lord, I'm praying because I want to seek you, because I love you, because I want to know you? It's a challenging question, and these are real questions. Because unless we deal with those things, we can sit in and out of church every week, week in, week out, and yet remain the same. Because we've missed the entire purpose of his presence. So this comes much of a challenge to me, to you, as much as it is to me, to really ask ourselves in everything that we do, am I shunning? Am I pushing away the presence? Am I, what am I doing? Is the Holy Spirit pleased? Is God's presence pleased with what I'm doing? Is he into what I'm doing? If not, the chances I'll try it and I'll try it and I'll try it and I'll get exhausted and I'll fail. And then I'll try again and I'll fail again. So I'd like to invite the musicians this morning just to come forward. If there's one thing that we have come to do, is we have come to meet up with the living God. We have come up to seek his face. The Bible says, seek my face. The psalm says, your face, O God, we seek. Unless he abides in us, everything that we do comes to absolutely nothing. I can do nothing apart from him. Unless I abide in him and he abides in me and his word abides in me, I can do absolutely nothing. So I'd really like you to do that. And really ask ourselves, you know, in whatever form we're doing, and especially in a church setting like this, you know, and I do hospitality, I do equipment, and I do all these things, and I do all that, and I serve in this, and I serve in that. But let's really ask the question, it's the presence of God. Have I missed the whole point of the presence? What am I doing it for? Even if I'm doing like something like this, hospitality or anything like that, what have I done it for? What is the purpose? What is the intention? Is the presence of God in what I'm doing? When I'm taking the Holy Communion, the little piece of bread and the cup, what does it mean to me? Is it just a ritual? I'm just and I'm gone with it. Sometimes, you know, we take Holy Communion and some people take a bit more time and really linger in his presence. Some people are, you know, fidgeting and, okay, look and trying to look for people to take up the little cup because we're collecting, because the ushers will be passing by. Is that true? So we're distracted by all this, but just to say, in this moment, I'm taking the Holy Communion. I thank you, Lord, that in this place, in this moment, that I partake of that bread that represents your body and the cup that speaks that is your blood. That in through this moment, there's a grace in that time whereby I can experience the divine exchange that Jesus Christ did for me on the cross when he died and paid for the penalty of my sins. And really set our hearts and our thoughts on him. And really, with a heart of thanksgiving and thankfulness, we cry out to him and say, Lord, I thank you for what you have done for me. Because if you didn't do any of that, I would die in my sins and I would perish. But you are so good to me. I want to challenge you this morning. Why have I come to church? Why am I listening to a message? Why am I singing songs? Why am I giving? So I invite you just to stand to your feet right now, and we're going to sing a song. If there's any answer this morning, I believe that God is speaking very clearly, is that he's got to be in it. He's got to be in it. You see, Jesus in the book of Revelation, he's walking in the midst of the golden lampstands. And the golden lampstand speaks of the churches. And what is Jesus doing? He's maintaining, he's making sure, he wants to make sure that the fire will not burn off. The fire will not go out. And so he's putting oil into it, making sure that the church is shining bright with the fire of the Holy Spirit. He is tending unto us this morning. He's looking at our hearts. He's looking at our works. He's looking at what we've done. He's looking at our attitudes. He's looking at the inner thoughts, the inner intents of our hearts, examining all of these things. It says, have we missed the point? Have we missed the point? What is the point? What is the point of my life? Live a good life, go to school, have a degree, earn some money, have a family, and that's the end of it. Is that all it is? Have a few holidays in the back of it as well. I feel challenged that we could have been doing church for a long time. And Jesus is like, I'm at the door knocking. Behold, I stand at the door knocking. And we're doing all of these things where we're happy, we're praising, we're dancing, we're singing, but Jesus is still knocking. He says, I want to come in. Let's sing this song, In Your Presence. In Your Presence. I want everyone here to, this is you, between you and God, just to stand here right now and between you and God and just say, Lord, it's your presence. What have I gone out to see? Well, I don't know. Maybe I've done it wrong in the past, but you know what? Who cares now? Today is a new day. I'm going to seek you, Lord. Your face I seek. I've not gone out to hear some teachings. I've not gone out to, because I've got itching ears and I want to confirm the wrong things that I'm doing in my life. I want to justify my sin. I want to do, no, I'm not here to do that. I'm not here to just, you know, get away from the worries of life and just come here and sit here for a while and feel religious and feel, well, I've gone to church now. I feel good and I feel forgiven. I've done the right thing. No, it's got nothing. And I felt like this for a long time. Do you know that I'm in my younger years when I went to church because I felt, I was taught that's the right thing to do, and I went to church. And I sat down there, and if I didn't go there, I felt like I was going to go to hell. It was so wrong, and I felt so bad. And when I went there, even if I didn't get much out of it, it felt good just because I sat in church on Sunday. But it's not about that. It's about meeting with the living God. So I want to sing this song and really invite you to just really say, Lord, I seek you, and you're the only one that I need. In your presence.
In your presence.